We open our Bibles tonight. We read the Word of God as we find it in Exodus 31. Exodus 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths for service, or of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, they shall they do. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Now, again, we pay particular attention to verses 13 through 17 of this chapter. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. This far we read the Word of God tonight. As we have made mention once again, we're going to be paying particular attention to verses 13 through 17 of this chapter, verses that address Sabbath worship. And on this passage of Scripture and passages such as this is based the truth of God's Word, as we find it in Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 103. That's found on page 22 in the back of the Psalter if you wish to follow along. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments publicly, to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The passage that we read tonight in Exodus 31 makes some striking remarks about the Sabbath day. In the first place, the Sabbath is a sign, God tells us, between himself and his people forever. It is to be observed, God tells us, throughout our generations as a perpetual covenant. Why is this true? Why does God say this of the Sabbath day? Because upon the Sabbath day, the child of God labors to enter into God's rest. A rest, as we found last Sunday evening, that still awaits you and me today. We have found that true rest has two sides to it, a negative side and a positive. The negative side of rest is to cease from one's labors. That's what we do when we enter into God's rest, after all. It's to be free of that toil and labor and the hard burdens of sin. It is freedom from the cares and the weariness which are the results of sin in this life. That's true rest from a negative point of view. On the other hand, we have found that rest is entering into fellowship and friendship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. It is to enter the eternal rest that is found in God Himself, a rest that gives to us, therefore, perfect peace, perfect harmony, and tranquility to one's souls, or to use the psalmist's words, pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. There's a rest that's free from sin. There's a rest that is found only when we stand in perfect harmony with the covenant God. And therefore, that's the rest that awaits us. A rest that we will receive ultimately when we enter into heavenly glory. God has given to you and to me the Lord's Day today, as He did the Sabbath in the Old Testament, as a sign of that eternal rest that awaits us. In that day we strive to be renewed in our zeal, and in our desire to enter into that eternal rest that still is ours. So we keep that day holy. We sanctify that day in order that in that one particular day of the week we might have a foretaste of the glory and the rest that will be ours in heaven. Not that that day itself is a holy day. Not because that day is somehow holy before the Lord in as it was in the old dispensation, but because it's a day that we take and we sanctify. That is, we set it aside in order to worship our God. When we fail to keep the Lord's Day properly, we lose sight in our lives and in the lives of our children. And we're very, very concerned about the lives of our children, after all, too. We lose sight of that eternal Sabbath that is ours. Of course that's the case. We have found in our own land that those who have become lax in their generations, in their attendance at church, or in their attendance of, or in their keeping of the Sabbath day holy, that it doesn't take but a generation or two, and their children are totally caught up in this world because they are no longer looking for the eternal rest to come, but now have set their sights on the things that are below. We keep our Lord's Day, therefore, holy and sanctified unto the Lord. Of course, we've also found that the Lord's Day we celebrate today is, after all, different than the Old Testament Sabbath. Their Sabbath was a Sabbath of shadows, a Sabbath that pointed them to the rest that they would receive when their Messiah came. And therefore, the Sabbath rest of the Old Testament was given to them by means of earthly pictures, by means of the ceremonies of the law. They were under law at that time, and it led at that time to that Sabbath rest that would be theirs when their Messiah came. Well, now Christ has come, and He has realized for you and me that Sabbath rest. And our rest today, therefore, is one that has been fulfilled and realized in Christ. That's why, as we noticed again last Sunday, we hold our Sabbath or our day of rest on the first day of the week rather than the seventh day. Christ fulfilled that Old Testament Sabbath in His resurrection from the dead. And nor do we celebrate the Old Testament Sabbath by means of feast days or holy days or new moons as the children of Israel did in the Old Dispensation. Keeping all of this in mind, we now wish to consider this evening the duties of the Sabbath day. Before we do, we ought to remember something that is essential to the Christian life. And that is that when we perform the duties of the Sabbath day, we do that freely, cheerfully, and not merely out of custom or habit. In other words, the duties of the Sabbath day are not some outward rigorous ceremonies that we torture ourselves with in order that somehow we might merit something in God's sight. We love the Lord's Day because it's a day of rest. We look forward to it because in it we are given a substantial taste of what is waiting you and me in heaven. I have attempted in the last two sermons to drive that point home with us. We cannot keep the Sabbath properly unless in our hearts there is a desire to enter into God's rest. And if there is not that desire, then all of the duties that we perform on the Sabbath day are merely outward formalism and nothing more. And we well know that the offering on the altar burned gives no delight to God. The willing heart that serves God in true love and delights in Him. That heart is what God sees and accepts. We consider today, therefore, the duties that we have on the Lord's Day. We do so under the labor of the Lord's Day. That's our theme, the labor of the Lord's Day. In the first place, we want to consider ceasing from our earthly labor. Secondly, entering into Sabbath labor. And then finally, living the Lord's Day. Because the eternal rest we seek consists of freedom from the toil and weariness of sin, because that eternal rest that we seek is the seeking of fellowship of God, so also that earthly Lord's Day must consist in these things. In order to keep the Sabbath day holy, therefore, in order to keep the fourth commandment of God's law properly, then we are called upon from a negative point of view to cease from our earthly labor. That's given us point blank in the fourth commandment, a commandment that is surely in effect for the Church of Jesus Christ today. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, the rest of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." That's the commandment that we have been considering for the past couple of weeks now, and which we consider point blank tonight. It cannot be stated more clearly for you and for me than this commandment does, that we are called to cease from our earthly or our secular labor on the Sabbath day. Just as when we find eternal rest, it will be in the end of our toil and weariness of this life, so also the rest of the Lord's day must be a cessation of earthly labor. That is a mandate, beloved saints, that is not only given to the Old Testament believer, but for the New Testament believer as well. We ought not to forget the words, and that's why we read that too, of verse 16 here in Exodus 31. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. And that term perpetual there in this verse means a covenant that is valid for all time. Or a covenant that continues on forever. The Sabbath is a sign of God's perpetual covenant with His people forever. Also, by the way, the first part of verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. We see that applied there very really. As long as God continues His covenant with His people, as He does today yet, just as He did with Abraham and with the children of Israel of old, God carries on that covenant that He established with them, with you and me too. And as long as God's covenant is continued with us, then you and I are called upon to cease from labor on the Lord's day. And just because Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament Sabbath does not mean that the Church of Christ today may ignore this negative aspect of keeping the fourth commandment. Today, too, we ceased from our earthly or secular labor. This is clear from Scripture itself. Notice verses 14 and 15 of the chapter again that we read. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, it's true, of course, that the church today does not put people to death if they do not keep the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord. Nevertheless, when applied to the Church of Jesus Christ today, certainly the Church does admonish her members and even discipline her members in order to keep that day holy unto the Lord by ceasing from earthly labor. And that God takes this aspect of Sabbath rest seriously is given to us by means of a couple of examples of the Old Testament church or saints. We read, for example, in Exodus 16 concerning the manna that fell on the ground. Every day in the wilderness, manna fell on the ground, and God's people every morning picked up that manna, and they were allowed to pick up only 1 day's worth of manna because they had to show that they were dependent on the Lord day by day. If they picked up more than a day's worth, it would rot in their pots. Except, of course, on the sixth day of the week, they were called to pick up double in order that they could eat that manna for 2 days, the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was a day of rest. We notice in Exodus 16, verses 22 through 30, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall not be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. There's a perhaps even more striking account that's given us a little bit later on in Numbers 15, verses 23 through 26. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. It was a man that was picking up sticks to make a fire on the Sabbath day, and he was taken outside the camp and he was stoned. That's how seriously the Lord took the keeping of that day. If anything, these examples of the Old Testament church ought to drive home the fact that God takes very, very seriously this particular aspect of the fourth commandment. He wants you and me to empty that day of all of our secular labor, of all of our earthly labors. Open it up so that we do not labor in that day. Now, we ought to understand, people of God, the all-inclusiveness of this commandment as well. In this day, God tells us, we may not do any work. We may not. Neither, he says in this commandment, may you allow your children to do any work, your son or your daughter. We may not allow our manservant or our maidservant to do any work, or to put that in modern terms, we may not allow our employees to do any work. We may not have our business open on Sunday with employees that labor for us, while perhaps we personally do not labor on that day. Neither do we allow the stranger that enters into our gates to labor. No one is to labor on our behalf. That's the fourth commandment. Anything that we do in connection with our secular labors during the week, we cease from doing now on the Lord's Day, because it is a Sabbath unto the Lord. That is a day of rest. That includes, of course, even the matter of buying and selling. Rather striking verse of the old dispensation, and this took place after the captivity itself, is recorded for us in Nehemiah 13, verses 15 through 21. In those days saw I, and this is Nehemiah talking, saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day. Another account in the Old Testament. The prohibition of the fourth commandment cannot make this any clearer to you and to me. Empty that day of your secular earthly activities, your labors, and keep the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. But then we have the question, don't we, of what Jesus himself taught about Sabbath observance. Did not the Pharisees stress ceasing from that labor on the Sabbath day when they caught Jesus' disciples picking corn on the Sabbath day, or when they witnessed Jesus healing people on the Sabbath day? That was a problem to them. It was a problem because Jesus was working on that day, and Jesus' disciples were working on that day. It was Jesus' answer to the Pharisees, therefore, if your sheep falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will you not work? And will you not get it out of that ditch? The Sabbath day, after all, was made for man, wasn't it? And Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, points out to you and to me that there are earthly labors that you perform on the Sabbath day. That there are works that are necessary for us. And that there are exceptions to that rule of the Sabbath day. That's what Jesus points out to you and to me. Two things, of course, in answer to that. In the first place, we must be careful not to lump all of our earthly or secular labors together into one lump. There are indeed works of necessity that ought to be performed, and we'll get to those in a moment too, and must be performed on that day. Sometimes there are emergencies, aren't there, in our families. And we ought not to be afraid to take care of those emergencies in our families either, or perhaps even in the workplace. There may be emergencies that take place, and we must deal with those things in our own labors as well. So there are certain works that we're going to perform on the Lord's Day. That in the first place. In the second place, in answer to those who like to call our attention to the exceptions to the rule, be careful. Be careful that you do not make those exceptions to the rule itself. Oftentimes we hear people making these exceptions because they somehow want to give themselves the liberty to go out and be able to do all of these things on the Sabbath day. And usually they're the ones, eventually in their lives, or if not in their lives, in the lives of their children, that we see departing from the Sabbath day and keeping that day holy unto the Lord. The two, after all, go hand in hand with each other, you know. We do not exercise ourselves regularly, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, in the things of the kingdom of heaven and the rest that we're going to receive in heaven, then those things become dim in our lives and we begin to become worldly minded, no longer looking for and striving after that eternal rest. And then we come short of it. And as we noticed in Hebrews 4, those who came short of it did not enter in to that land of rest. Yes, there are some exceptions to the rule of ceasing from earthly labor. And Jesus definitely teaches us that too. You know, there's nothing holy, people of God, in the act itself of not working on Sunday. That's not some holy act. As if by keeping that act, ceasing from working on Sunday. Somehow, I'm doing something very, very holy before God. Some Christians think that the act of not working itself is meritorious in God's sight. It makes them a better Christian because they don't work on Sunday. That's not true. But it is the reason for such that we are interested in as God's people. Surely there are exceptions to the rule. Fires, for example, do not automatically cease on Sunday, do they? Criminals do not wait for Monday to roll around before breaking into somebody's house or committing their crime. People do not stop getting sick or dying or in need of constant care only for 6 days of the week, and then on one day of the week they don't have to have that care. We know that. And we need not become legalistic either and condemn Christians for becoming such things as doctors and nurses or nursing home attendants or firemen or policemen and so on. Jobs that will at times require them to labor on the seventh day. These are works of necessity after all. Labors that need to be performed 7 days a week, not just 6 days. But even in those areas, you understand, we must be very, very, very careful. Do these acts of necessity, do these acts of mercy, keep me consistently from keeping my Sabbath day holy or from frequenting the house of God on that day? Do they, every Lord's Day, keep me so occupied in the things of this present world that I never have time to enter into the Sabbath rest and that together with my family? Do I work on Sunday because, well, I can earn a few extra bucks on that particular day? Maybe even double time if I work on that day. Or I work on Sunday because this way I can have a day or two off during the week so I can go out and have my fun and my enjoyment. You see, there are all kinds of devious ways that our flesh works within us as well, isn't there? Would I rather work? Would I rather earn money? Or would I rather go to church and enter into the joy of God's rest and spend my day in spiritual activities and not use my lust to make up exceptions that perhaps ought not to be exceptions? The child of God attempts as much as possible, even in these areas of necessity and mercy, to refrain from labor on the Lord's Day. Because he desires nothing more, people of God, than to enter into fellowship with the living God, and because it is the desire of the child of God to enter into that eternal rest. That's why. That's why. The command is simple and clear. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, the rest day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. How much do you desire to enter into your rest? That's the question. How much do we desire that? All right. So now we've emptied that day of our earthly physical labor. That's only half of it, isn't it? That's only half of it. Ceasing from our earthly toil, as we will someday cease from the toil and weariness of sin, is only half of it. We wish to enter into fellowship with God. And that's really the positive aspect of keeping the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. What are we going to do with our Sabbath day? We've emptied it of our earthly labors. Now, well, what are we going to do with that day? Ought the day simply to remain open with nothing at all for us to do, but to sit rather lazily around in our homes, doing absolutely nothing at all, perhaps spending the whole day sleeping or reading the newspaper or watching TV? I mean, after all, that's resting from our earthly labors, isn't it? That's keeping the day holy, isn't it? Really? Is that why we empty the day of our earthly labors so that we can spend it in idleness? Then let's take a look at what God did on the seventh day when He rested. Our God is never guilty of inactivity. And on the Sabbath day, when God rested, it isn't as if He now sat back and He looked at all of the works of His hands and said, okay, I'm not going to do anything on this day at all. I'm just going to take it easy. Really? Then the whole creation would have collapsed. God is working, an ever-working God, upholding that creation. He called it into existence, and on that day, He labored. But on that particular day, He rejoiced in the work of His hands. And that's what that rest means. He entered into the joy of His own fellowship on that day. And He rejoiced within His own triune self in the works that He had now performed throughout that creation week. And in that day, God was refreshed, or so the wording of Exodus 31 is. God was refreshed in that day. And so also the same is true of us. The Sabbath day is not a day of idleness. It's not a day of inactivity. It's not a day that we spend sitting around in our houses doing nothing. Such is not the intent either of this commandment that we have before us tonight. And that definitely is not the rest that we must enjoy that will keep us looking for our eternal rest. You think sleeping all day long is keeping my eyes focused on the eternal rest that is to come? It has nothing to do with it. So we look at the positive aspect now of this commandment. That brings us to another common error, people of God, that is so prevalent, it seems, at least in the church world, well, really in the world at large as well, that the Sabbath day becomes really a day for fun and for pleasure and enjoyment. And the excuse is often used, well, I use that day for my family. Good family fun and enjoyment we have together. When we empty our day of labor, it is not in order to fill it again with the earthly mundane and even the carnal things of this present life, however. It isn't. That's the common misconception of the rest of the Sabbath day. People today often use that day simply for recreation. Now, we have another word of God to us that addresses that kind of a question. It's found in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So we don't set that day aside for picnics in the park and outings at the beach or a trip to the zoo or so on. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's a day that we set aside in the service of our God, and we dedicate that day for that. So positively, now our calling is this, to enter into the Sabbath labor. Labor on the Sabbath day. Oh, we work on the Sabbath day, people of God. Just because it's a day of rest, that doesn't mean we don't labor on this day. It is a day of labor. And that principle is taught to you and to me also in Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism here. It speaks of frequenting the house of God and the activities that we are involved in together as God's people on our Lord's Day. And all of those activities are labors. They require activity. They require not idleness, but an active life. Quite frankly, people of God, on Sunday night, when I go home after church, I'm shot. And I'm tired. And I'm tired because I worked today. In fact, my Sabbath day is probably a day that I work harder than any other day of the week. I work. And when you're sitting in the house of God and you are called upon to hear the preaching of the Word, it takes work too, or at least it should, on your part. That's a labor that we perform when we frequent the house of God. And we have to listen to the Word of God, or I have to proclaim that Word of God to you. That's a labor. It's a joyful labor, because it's a labor that gives to us rest, but nevertheless, it is a labor. The labor that we perform, however, on the Lord's Day is a highly spiritual labor. We work the works of the Lord. On the Lord's Day, we exercise ourselves spiritually in the things of the kingdom of heaven. That's entering into our Sabbath labor, our rest labor. We fill the day from beginning to end with the things of God's kingdom. From the time that we get up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night, we concern ourselves with spiritual matters on the Lord's Day. That's why God has given that to you and me. The Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, has given the Sabbath to man exactly for that reason. And in that way, our attention, our spiritual attention is drawn once a week for a full day, once a week to those things that await you and me in heaven. And we need that. We need that. So badly we need that in our lives. We live in a busy world. Satan makes it busy for us, it seems. We're busy with this matter, with that matter. We hardly have time to think, it seems, during the course of a day because we're going here and we're doing that. We're busy in the family. We're busy at work. We need these things to do, that, those things. We really don't have all that much time during the week, do we, that we devote to the matters of the kingdom of heaven. Spiritual exercise in those things. Because we make ourselves so busy. Sometimes we don't even have time to sit down and have family devotions together or to sit down individually and read God's Word because we're so busy. Well, now the Lord says, listen, I know you're going to be busy in the things of this present world for 6 days. But now here's one day that I want you to open up. Stop. Stop. Get off the roller coaster. Stop. Open that day up and then fill that day with the things of the kingdom of heaven so that in that one day for sure, you can think on things heavenly and on things spiritually and exercise yourselves in the things of the kingdom of heaven. You need that day. Otherwise, you're going to lose sight of your goal. In your life. Sometimes, people of God, sometimes it's kind of hard getting up in the morning. Isn't that true, children? Sometimes you like the weekday better than you like Sunday, huh? Because you got to get up in the morning, you know you're going to have to go to sit in church for an hour and a half. Sometimes we have to force ourselves on the Sabbath day. But then when we get to the house of God and we sit under the preaching of the Word and we sing God's praises together and then we all stand around for an hour or two after church and we visit with each other and we say, how good that was. How good it was to be in the house of God, to share in the communion of saints and all the pleasures of this present world that surround me and all the labors of this life. I can kind of just push out of that one day and spend that day in things spiritual. God knows that. This fourth commandment isn't some rigid rule that He places on us to force us to do something that we really don't want to do. God knows we need this day. That's why He gives it to us in His love for us, so that we can remember His covenant that He has established with us. The fellowship, the friendship, the love that He shares with you and me. Right here, together, we could share that. And that's why the chief activity, and we're going to spend a whole sermon on that next week, the Lord willing, the chief activity of the Lord's Day is frequenting the house of God and worshiping together with God's saints. The Lord's Day, that's the church's day. It's the day that we, together as members of the body of Jesus Christ, join hands and hearts and we worship our God on this particular day. How much we desire the peace, the joy, the pleasure that comes with our fellowship with God. How much we enjoy that also in this particular day. And surely if that's ignored by you and me, sometimes it's so easy to fall out of that habit, you know. It is a habit. It is a custom. It's a part of the disciplined life of the child of God. No doubt about it. It's discipline. Discipline. And if we fall out of that habit, then we so quickly lose sight of that heavenly goal that we have in life. And we become involved in the things of this life and this world, and we just forget about the things of the kingdom of heaven. What other activities are we to do on the Lord's Day? Heidelberg Catechism really doesn't give us anything more than that. Ministry of the Gospel in the schools be maintained? Well, that's done through collections during the church service. That I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the Church of God. Here's what we do in the Church of God. Hear His Word, use the sacraments, publicly call upon the Lord, contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. That's it. Doesn't tell us anything more. That's why it's the chief activity. Sometimes we wonder why we meet two times on Sunday, because the Bible doesn't dictate to us that we have to meet two times on Sunday. And some people simply want to say, well, you're doing it because that's your tradition. No. No. The church does that because we have a whole day to keep holy unto the Lord. Whole day. We do it once. What are we going to do with the rest of our day? The Sabbath day centers in that worship, you see. We begin it, we end it in the house of God, and it centers in that worship. And it helps us fulfill the activities that need to be done on the Sabbath. There's not a whole lot of time in between, is there? But what about other spiritual activities? What do we do with our whole afternoon between services? There's all kinds of spiritual activities we can become involved in. How often don't I remind you catechism students that the Lord's Day is a perfect day to sit down and learn your lessons, your catechism lessons. Perfect day for that. Or to sit down for a few minutes and do your written work. That's a labor, but it's a labor in the things of the kingdom, you see. We can use the day as adults, too, to prepare for our Bible studies and so on, or simply to have our own devotions as families and as individual saints. We can use that day by visiting other saints. Many, many different times in the church, there are elderly, there are shut-ins, there are widows or widowers. And we can visit on that day. Those are spiritual activities. We could just simply visit with one another, as we oftentimes do on the Lord's Day. Why? Because we're sharing together in the communion of saints with one another. This is our day, you see. All activities, all spiritual activities that we can become involved in. In fact, there's so many activities that we probably wouldn't have enough time in the day to do them all. Now, does that mean that this day is going to be so chock full of spiritual activities that I don't really have time to breathe, and that's the only pious way of keeping the Sabbath day holy? Come now. We're not legalistic in these things. I have to eat. I have to drink. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and having a good meal with my family or friends or by myself, whatever the case might be. Of course not. That's a necessity too. And we do that on the Lord's Day. We can have a fellowship dinner downstairs and we clean up afterwards. We do that on the Lord's Day. I even believe that there's nothing wrong with taking a break from the spiritual labors and activities of that day and simply relaxing for a little while. There's nothing wrong with that. So long as I keep in focus that day now, I'm going to use to devote to the things of the kingdom of God and exercise myself in those things. Then the Sabbath day can be very, very busy. When the Sabbath day is celebrated properly, then it becomes the very hub of our lives. In other words, proper Sabbath observance results in living the Sabbath each day of our lives. And here we have the Lord's Day before us once again here at the very close. Secondly, what is it to keep this fourth commandment? Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. There's the principle of it all. When I celebrate with God's saints the Lord's Day together, then that sets the tone for the rest of my life. And I can go out on Monday again and have it within my heart that those daily activities that I perform, I'm performing to the Lord's honor and glory. And that eternal Sabbath that I experience so richly on that one day of the week, I begin to carry with me through the week that is to come. And that longing isn't just on Sunday, but it's a longing that characterizes my life in this world every day, every day. We're not Sunday Christians. We've heard of that word, right? That label, Sunday Christians. That is, everybody likes to be a good Christian on one day of the week, and then the rest of the week they live like the world, and they seek everything that the world does, they look just like the world, and so on, as a Sunday Christian. Well, that's not true when we enter into properly the rest of the Lord on our Sabbath day, our Lord's Day. It begins to reflect itself in our lives, in our goals, in our desires, and others begin to see that in us. This person is living for a different goal than what I am in my life. His goal is heavenly. So, the rest of the week becomes kind of centered in that Sabbath rest that we experience. And that Sabbath rest becomes the hub of our life in this world. And we begin to experience in this life already that rest that is to come when we reach heaven. Do you see how important observance of the Lord's Day is? And why we receive this fourth commandment? Do you see why we keep this day of rest as we do? Not as a chore, not simply as a custom, but because we desire it? Do we desire, people of God, the rest that is ours? And that will one day be ours in heavenly glory. More than anything else, then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Our gracious and eternal Father, we are thankful unto Thee for this day that Thou hast given us. And we are thankful for the opportunity that we have also to enter into Thy house in order to worship Thee. What a wonderful place to experience Thy eternal rest as we gather together under Thy Word. We pray that that Word might indeed enter into our hearts to lead and to guide us in our life in this world. How often we have stumbled and do stumble in the way of our sins and weaknesses, Father. Again, we are thankful for the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ that was shed to make us righteous in Thy sight. How we rely on Him and the work that He has done for us. Go with us to watch over us and to keep us now and this week to come. For Jesus' sake, amen.